In the Greater Grace calendar, this is the, you know, I mean, there's something going on all year round, and we know that, but this is something very special these next few weeks. And we have guests coming to be with us from all over the world. And if we put a map on the up on the screen, we could draw lines to Baltimore, circle Baltimore. We would literally have lines coming from probably 30 different countries, maybe 40 different countries, all coming into Baltimore for the next couple of weeks. And this is a very special time. And, you know, I was saying this morning, you know, like when you live here, it just kind of comes and it's like, oh, convention's next week. Or, you know, we have different attitudes towards it as it comes. And, you know, we're working and so on. But I was really touched this morning thinking about a good friend of mine, Pastor Jean Cartier in Nîmes. And when we were visiting with him in October, 10 months ago, he had his tickets already to come to Baltimore this week. 10 months ago, I was still thinking about my birthday and Thanksgiving and Christmas and, you know, all of this kind of stuff. And he's like, we have our tickets set. We're coming on the 19th. We leave on the 1st, and we can't wait to get to Baltimore. And that really spoke to me as I thought about that this morning, the way other people around the world, how their desire, and we already have people that started coming in, a couple of the Indian pastors are here, and others who are, you know, maybe have saved, maybe have prayed, maybe have tried everything to come here for one convention. And sometimes they have the money, maybe they can get the time off, but they can't get a visa, because not from every country can somebody come here as easy as others. And they go to get the visa, they go to the U.S. consulate, and they get turned down, and they say, okay, maybe next year, maybe next year. Others, you know, it's saving money for years. Others, it's maybe time off of work. But they all try, many try to come these 2 weeks because they have it in their hearts, I want to come to Baltimore. I want to go to a convention in Baltimore. And the amazing thing is we live here. And we get to experience all that they're dreaming about, all that they're thinking about, praying about, hoping for, we get to experience because we live here. And I say this to myself, I don't want to miss out on what God has for us over the next couple of weeks. And we have a busy schedule, and I know a lot, because you are working and so on, it's hard to make everything. But maybe this year, and I said this to the 9 o'clock crowd, like maybe this year, circle one thing that you've never gone to. This week, pre-convention week, like what? Like you might say, well, what's going on, Pastor Rod? I don't even know what's going on. Well, I don't either. No, there's so much going on. We have these sheets. These are at the Welcome Center. They're online. And there is a lot going on, and it's impossible to go to everything. But like, for example, this Monday night and Tuesday night, both nights, Monday night, 6:30, if you come to Grace Island, you hop on a bus and you go to Fed Hill with a group of our brothers and sisters. We're going down to Fed Hill. We have a church in Fed Hill. Maybe some of you didn't even know that. We have a blossoming, growing church. Pastor Justin Schaller is doing an amazing job, and they're having service as we speak. And people from Fed Hill are coming out, and they're growing, and we just want to go and support them. And do outreach with them and get to meet believers in the Fed Hill Church. That's tomorrow night at 6:30. And then Tuesday night, same time, 6:30, Grace Island, a bus going to Havre de Grace. Beautiful little city, seaports right on the Chesapeake Bay and Susquehanna River. It's gorgeous. We have a church up there that many of you maybe didn't know, Pastor Wright. We're going to go up and support the believers up there, right at the waterfront. It's beautiful. And you know, we're going to do outreach, we're going to talk to people, but we're also going to go and build up the church in Fed Hill, build up the church in Havre de Grace. And we have outreaches Tuesday and Thursday night also, just meeting here, going to Rosedale. We have a group going to Washington, D.C., which you can partake of next Saturday, going down to, the Lincoln Memorial and getting to see D.C. as well as possibly soul winning and different things. And you might say, is there anything else going on besides soul winning? I mean, it's a good question, because maybe you don't want to go on an outreach. Maybe you don't want to do that. But I would just say this, go. Go to be with the body. Just go to be with other believers. Go and support them. Go and pray with them. Go and get to know new people. Because in doing these kind of things, man, our lives are expanded, and we get to meet new people. Maybe you ride on the bus with somebody who's sitting like three seats away from you. You never talk to them. You sit on a bus with them for 20 minutes and you get to know them. So you don't have to, don't feel intimidated if you don't feel like handing out tracts. Just go and be with the body. Go and build up the believers and have it a grace. So we have all that going on next week. Then we have Bible college classes, leadership seminar for free, Wednesday morning from 10 to 12. Then we have Wednesday night service. Thursday, we have a class in the morning, 10 to 12. We have a class at night from 6 to 8. Same thing on Friday. Free classes in the Bible college. It's called the leadership seminar, but anybody, it's open to all. Come and receive something. Be with the body. So circle. Maybe it's an outreach. Maybe I'm going to go to Habit of Grace. I've never been to Habit of Grace. That would be awesome. Let's go. Or maybe, you know, I haven't really gone in a Bible college class in years, maybe 10 years, maybe 15 years. I'm going to circle Thursday night, and I'm going to go and sit in that class. So there's a lot going on. DC trip. Ladies Missionary Tea is Saturday afternoon at 4 right down here in the Fellowship Hall. That's a great event. Ladies Missionary Tea. Guys, watch the kids. Let the moms go. It's a great time. And what else was there? And then, oh, we have a convention after that. This was just pre-convention. I forgot to mention convention comes. Yeah, that's why Monday night, look down here as you leave in your car down by the gym. You'll see a stage set up there with a bunch of Greater Grace flags. Monday night, we're going to be down there, free time, 5:30 to 9. The food booths will be open. You'll see a tent down there. You'll see lots of people, and it just come, fellowship, messages, songs. It'll be awesome. Right down there in the parking lot, weather permitting. If not, is it in here? Monday night, would we come in here if it's raining out? Uh-oh. Just come anyway. There'll be people here. We'll have a blast. That's right. I'm sorry. Lord, it's going to be nice. Yes. So this is the week. Convention, you know, seminar. We have workshops. We have all kinds of things going on all week long. So if normally you can just come at night, maybe circle a day and say, I'm going to try and come to that morning session. You know, so just, I'm saying this to myself also. I want to go to something that I don't normally go to because either of work or other responsibilities and say, I want to try and make this one more event this year or maybe two and just partake of all the opportunities. People are coming from all over the world to partake of these things, and we just want to join with them, sit with them, hear stories, you know, hear about life in Nepal, hear about life in India, hear about life in South America, hear about life in Central America, hear stories of missionaries. It's going to be amazing. And all I can say is, by the grace of God, let's not miss out on these opportunities. Is that enough? Or do we have to do more? Do we have to do more? No. That's enough, right? That's a full couple of weeks, and it's going to be amazing. And I think there's a great excitement about it, and it's going to be good. Amen?
Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Hey, I just realized we could do Bible study this way. I mean, all day for our service. Wouldn't that be good? Maybe it would, maybe not. Look at verse Philippians 3, verse 3. This is a loaded verse. Read it together with me. 1, 2, 3. For we are the circumcision. Okay, hold it. Circumcision. In the Jewish law, that was a circumcision in the flesh. But we have another circumcision. Our lips are circumcised, our ears are, and our hearts are circumcised. There's a knife that cuts our mouths, our ears, our hearts. What kind of knife is it? A spiritual one. Yeah. We are circumcised, but not in the flesh. We are circumcised a different way. God has put a difference between us and the Egyptians in Exodus chapter 11. We are different. We are not of the world. We are of the Spirit. Wow, this is good. We are not of the world. Say that to your neighbor. We are not of the world. We are of the Spirit. We are not of the world. We are of the Spirit. Isn't that true? Now the rest of the verse says, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. We really love Christ. Rejoice in Him. We can do a dance. Can you do a dance right where you're standing? Okay, rejoice in Christ Jesus. Okay. Why do we stop? Why stop? Okay. Rejoice in, and what's the last part? Have no confidence. Boast not of tomorrow. Why? Because we don't know what will happen tomorrow. What else we don't boast in? The flesh. How smart I am. What other thing? Who I know. What I own. How important am I? Having confidence in ourselves in the wrong way. Our confidence, our boasting is in the Lord all the day long. I want to explain that to you in a few minutes and teach that to you from Galatians. And we'll do that, okay? All right. Is that all? Is that it for that part? Father, we thank you for our assembly this morning. We thank you that we are of the Spirit, that you fill us with your Spirit. We need it every day, all the time. Teach us by your Spirit. Open the Bible up to us this summer, that we would love our church, love each other, grow in faith, and learn by your teaching that our flesh is not the way, but your Spirit is. In your name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I just wanted to give a shout out to the folks that are here from different countries. I noticed in the 9 o'clock service, we had the India, our two pastors here, Guru and Neil. Maybe they just want to kind of, would you like to stand? Yeah, thank you. And then, that's one guru I would go to right there. Pastor Guru, he's the only one I know that I would go to for counseling and for yoga meditation. That guru, Pastor Guru. Pastor Plunkett is here from China and his family, Pastor. Yeah. And anybody else? A.B. Altonen is here also. Well, amazing. Pastor George Armin and Carolyn are here from Malawi. You're our heroes. You are our heroes, really, really great. The Matthews family from Puerto Rico, of course. Let's see. We've got Pastor Post and Diane from Nepal. Pastor Steffenstein from Berlin, Germany. Wow. You would do me a favor, because I'm going to miss people. I don't see everybody, but just stand if you're here from another country or a missionary from another, that your Greater Grace pastor or missionary in another place. Did we get everybody in that little few minutes? Wow. Okay, thank you so much. We are touched by your lives and also your message. which we want to share just now. Yeah. Turn to Galatians, please, chapter 2. I was in Utica, New York, with Luke and Brian, Pastor Rinaldo, Omai, and James Bryson, group of us up in Utica. We had a missions conference at the church in Utica, New York, which is the area I'm from. I got to go to Rome to visit my brother, who's in a nursing home there, and means a lot to me, and that was very touching and important to me and him. We came back yesterday, and we were in the car going through Proverbs and talking and fellowshipping and very much encouraged in our spiritual fellowship. I would like to say a few things here from Galatians 2, verse 20, and I hope they are God speaking to us, because this is God's word. The word of God is a sword, and it's very sharp, and it speaks to us. Galatians 2, verse 20, and we'll read it slow and bit by bit. I am crucified. There it is. Just the three words. I am crucified. What's wrong with this world? The first word in that sentence. I. Yeah. What's wrong with the world? Them? I. The biggest problem I have in my life is me. I. There's a lot of meaning in that word. We can say I, and everybody has a different portfolio, different profile. Sinful people. Guilty people, dying people. I abused as a child. I grew up in poverty. I betrayed. I wounded and hurt. I. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and they are our relatives. Somebody yesterday asked me about my genealogy, where my family came from. And I said, my family came from Adam and Eve. And I got a real problem with that. And I got to talk to them when we get to heaven. We are sinners. My relatives, probably horse thieves and crazy people and hurting people and sinful people, and have done terrible and horrible things, as I have. But I have an answer. I am crucified. That's amazing. I am crucified. Whew. Whoa. Really? I know that's in the Bible. I know that, you know, I know that you believe that, and I know that, but you don't understand me. Yeah. I know. It's true. Man is so complicated. He can talk for hours and hours about life. Have you ever read one of those big philosophy books about 800 pages long? I never have. The psychology of today, incredible. There is no end to how people talk and feel and are hurt and wounded and troubled and complicated. This is amazing. I am crucified. But I don't want to, I don't know. I instead of believing this, I'd rather talk about myself and live in the real world, you know. Me, my life, my stuff. And it's a big wagon load, huge room full of me. That's the world of today, and has always been this way. I am like, you know how styrofoam, if you put it in water and you have a styrofoam piece of insulation or something and push it down and let it go, goes to the top. I sink. One writer said, the devil fell from heaven from his own gravity. That's not theologically necessarily correct, but I like the idea that when I am wrong, that wrongness is what puts me down. I sink under my own weight. I don't even need other people. Just put me in a room by myself in a perfect world, and I am the problem. I have these moods. I have these feelings. I have these complaints. I have these problems. When God looked at us, he knew this. And he came. Let's slow down here. When God looked at us, he knew he would have a long, long conversation with us, which essentially would have no end. It would be about me and myself. And there wouldn't be much room in the conversation for God. We don't have room for him. We don't necessarily believe in him or understand him or know him. We have our own way and our own thoughts. God, knowing this, knew that it wouldn't be a dialogue with us, but it would be these words, I am crucified. That's what that cross is. His opinion about you and me. That's the conversation, is there. A cross. I cannot talk with you. You cannot hear me. You are not after me. You do not follow me. You do not believe in me. You are not trusting me because you don't know me. I must show myself to you and come as a humble servant and be abused by you, rejected by you, forsaken by you, spit in the face by you, hair plucked out of my beard, beaten with stripes and crucified. But as you were rejecting me, I was receiving you. As you were hating me and ignoring me and not able to understand me, I was understanding you. And I was talking to you from there. Forgive them. They don't know what they do. It's a profound Bible verse, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. As if it's the only thing that would work with us. Death. Death. And we don't like it. Death. I was speaking to a psychologist yesterday, a Christian counselor, who is going for his PhD in Christian counseling. And we had a good talk. I was learning from him things. And I said, how do you counsel people? He said, the first thing I differentiate. I said, what does that mean? He said, when I counsel somebody, I listen to them and I have a detachment between them and me, but I hear them, but I don't hear it in a personal way. It's about me. I hear them. I'm listening to them. I said, what does the second thing? He said, then I identify with them, and I listen to them. And third thing, I paraphrase what they are saying. I repeat back to them what they are saying to me so that they could understand that I relate to them. And then the fourth thing, he said there were four things, and the fourth thing was that I give them the, I speak to them in third person, I relate to them and lead them. But they may not accept what I say, but as I lead them and I'm listening to them, they realize there is a message that I'm giving to them that is, in my mind, powerful. So, what would you say to somebody? In some of these cases, it's referral, where you refer somebody who has a deep problem. It might be beyond what I could share. I may refer them to somebody and try to help that person. Verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. I can imagine somebody not hearing that as good counsel, but it is. I need a capacity to hear that and believe that. Because when I believe it, the Holy Spirit is my teacher, and He will say to me, you are crucified. And I will say, I think I am crucified. I have died. And my self-life is not, it doesn't have the power. It's not controlling me. All of that talking and feeling is now seeming to be like without authority and without power. I live, but not I. Look at verse 20. I live. My name is Tom. I have been crucified. I died, but I live. Tom lives, yet not Tom. What do you mean? It's kind of like I'm a different Tom. I'm the same person, but actually there's a difference because I died. That's the meaning of this. And the good news is that it's not just a Bible verse that maybe we may quote, but it's actually the word from the mouth of God, from the Holy Spirit, that tells me the most amazing truth that I could hear and experience. I am alive, but it's not me, but it's me, but it's not me, but it's me. You hear what I'm saying. Enoch walked with God, and it says the scripture, and he was not. Now, I always wonder what that means. Like, Enoch walked with God on the earth, and he was not. Like, God took him, it says in Hebrews 11. But I think there's also another meaning to it, that Enoch walked with God, and he was not. the same as he was before, because he walked with God, the Holy Spirit. Have you seen the Holy Spirit in your life? Have you sensed the Holy Spirit get a hold of you in your life? Have you sensed the Holy Spirit in your faith? I mean, in everyday life, have you sensed the Holy Spirit in a conversation, in a prayer, in fellowship in the body, in quietness, in kindness? Have you maybe been surprised how compassionate you can be, or how you want to give mercy to somebody? How maybe this has happened to me many times, where I think of a person and somehow I'm able to like see more and have compassion on the person. I love that person. They don't even know me. I know them. And quietly in my heart, I love them and have compassion and prayer. Because Tom died. You know, that old guy. You know, the selfish, you know, the guy, Tom Schaller, you know him. That guy, he died. And now Tom lives, but not him, but him. That's who you know when you look in the mirror of God's word and he tells you who you are. I am crucified with Christ, and I live, but not I, but Christ lives within me. And I at times see that very clearly, that it's Christ that gives me the desire, Christ that gives me the passion, the direction. It's Christ that baptizes me into the body of Christ, where I see you as my sister and brother, but I'm not really caught in the vortex, like in the bathtub when you pull the drain and the water goes like this, getting caught in humanity, in the flesh or the nature of troubled people. I'm not caught into the vortex of troubled world. Jesus wasn't there. He was with the Father, and he was helping people out of it, pulling them out of the vortex of the trouble, of the addiction, of the lying, of the superficial life. I know that many of you are hungry for depth of spirit in your life. I know that many of you are hungry for a fresh slice of heavenly bread or a good long drink of the everlasting eternal water where we do not thirst like the people of the world. You know what it is to get caught into an addiction, and a man can't get out of his pornography. And maybe he doesn't even want to. He doesn't want to get out of it. He enjoys it, and he's guilty about it. At the same time, he is enjoying the pleasure of it. And he can't get out of it. But look at the verse. I'm out of it. Hallelujah. Was there anything better than that? Yeah. The life of the Spirit. Wisdom, freedom, joy, peace, purity. Purity is better than sin. Power, love, kind of seeing further. You know how you can just see only so far in our self life? We are so limited. And when we get caught into our self-life, how superficial and empty it really is. I mean, it's up to you. You got to find that out on your own if you agree with me or not. But it says in Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right, but the end is death. It's not life. But crucifixion is death so we can have life. And because of this Holy Spirit glorifying Christ. You see, every time you see a Spirit-filled person, in this past year we have seen them in Africa, Spirit-filled people in India, in China. We see Spirit-filled people in Baltimore, here. We see Spirit-filled people. Every time we do, it's the Holy Spirit saying, Jesus did it. Jesus did it. All the time, the Holy Spirit is in you saying, Jesus did that at the cross. He is glorified. That the Spirit is in the world pointing to Christ and what he did and saying to us in our hearts, this is what we boast in. Guys, we can boast in this, not in what's going to happen tomorrow, though we wish good will for everybody regarding tomorrow and the next day and the summer. But these things are not guaranteed what will happen to us this summer or year or decade. But this is guaranteed. Our spiritual life, our freedom, our joy, our peace, boasting in God all the day long. Look at verse 20 and we'll finish with it. It says, I am crucified, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, this body of ours, this life I now live in the flesh, now I live in my body. I'm now living in the same body that I had before I was saved. It's the same body, hasn't changed. Yeah, I live in a body of death. And my body, we know, is going to the grave. My body, but as I live in this body, Christ lives in us. And we live by the faith of the Son of God. Look at that. The faith of the Son of God. Even the Spirit gives us the faith of the Son of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in you and you have faith. And it's the faith of the Son of God. Because this is God that is dwelling in you. And the life you live by faith. And the Spirit is saying, you have died. And I say, amen, I have. And the Lord says, you know, do we have anything to talk about? I go, I have died, and now I live. And I live by the faith of the Son of God. And the Spirit is my teacher. And I don't live in the denial of a child abuse case or a man that has gone to prison for 20 years or whatever the thing may be in his past. But the point is, that thing it doesn't have the authority. It cannot take him down. Let the styrofoam go. The styrofoam will go to the surface. The styrofoam will speak, or I'm trying to say by that illustration that the Holy Spirit has something to say to us all the time. He doesn't stop talking. He wants us to understand this book in a beautiful way. The Spirit wants to speak this book into our hearts. The Spirit wants to show us the reality of these things in our lives. The Spirit wants to show us and lead us in our freedom. And then we will be walking around here as we do in the Spirit and loving each other and encouraging each other and knowing no man after the flesh. Then we kind of like have that kind of skip in our, you know, in our life with kind of like lighthearted, a sense of humor, a spirit of thanksgiving, a joy, looking beyond the things that are seen, not being heavy and weighty in our personality, in our style, even though people are different, and I'm not saying we are people, but I am saying the Spirit speaks and teaches us. And worship. Go to Philippians 3:3, and I'll just repeat that one more time. We are the circumcision. Philippians 3:3. My arm's getting tired. Philippians, okay. We are the circumcision. Three things. Can you say them with me? Number one. Go ahead. Which worship God in the Spirit. Number two, rejoice in Christ. Number three, have no confidence in the flesh. You know, sometimes I plan things, but I don't have a lot of confidence in my flesh. And I know you're the same way. You say, God, you can do this. You know, sometimes I tackle a thing that we're doing or go at it somehow, but in my heart, I know, Lord, you can do it. You can bring it home. You can make it happen. You can lead and guide us. We boast in you and know that in our new nature, you hear our prayers. You answer us. You help us and lead us. Thank you, God. We worship you. Our lives are new. We are worshipers of God. We rejoice in Christ and have no confidence in our flesh. We are people of the Spirit, and we see it, and we hear it, and we recognize it. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Maybe there is someone here who does have these deep things in your life. We want you to go away from here today knowing that God loves you and God is for you. Rest in Him. Wait upon Him. You have been crucified with Him. You are free. The Spirit will speak to you and say that to you and lead you. Maybe you struggle with some guilt or something or self-consciousness or fear. Wait upon God. You have been crucified. Reckon yourself. Learn these spiritual truths. Walk by faith in Him. He will teach you and show you the living way, a new way, a new way, the living way. Father, we pray there would be deep work amongst us these weeks through the summer, the convention time, filling us, leading us, and teaching us, and speak to us these realities. We have not invented them. They are real. They are true. They are from you. And your Spirit teaches us who we are. We are serious about it. Thank you, God. Thank you. Anyone hearing my voice and you're not a believer, come to Jesus now. Come by faith in Him. Ask Him into your life. God will speak to you. God will show you. God will save you. God forgives you. God puts your name in His book. It's absolutely necessary. You must be born again, by believing in Jesus Christ personally. Do it today. In Jesus' name. Amen.